next time you stop by here.
Power is gonna restore 15 to 20 million jobs. I am your future.
We have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio, which serves Philadelphia, southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And as always, I'm asking that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in. I have a very interesting guest with me here in the studio today, and we're going to be talking about a number of issues regarding American workers and what we're going to do to motivate people here in the new year. Well, first of all, thanks for tuning in, and you have no idea how important what you have all been doing has been helping American workers, making sure that more people get out there and look at labels. In the last few years, I've seen people do many positive things to help American workers, and I'm really pleased to say that people are now responding in a more positive way, mainly because they saw very clearly what is happening in the USA, what's happening to our economy, and they see that it just can't continue. So it's been a great run for the last few years, but 2013 has to certainly be our very, very lucky year. They say 13s are lucky numbers. Well, let's make 13 the best year that it possibly can. And as more people began to support the Buy American Made campaign, they saw that I was taking a non-partisan approach because I believe that both parties in the highest elected officers, whether they're president and all the officers of the Congress and the Senate and all, they haven't really been responding appropriately for the last 30 years. So I think blame is on both sides of the fence. America's in $16 trillion in debt. We're borrowing 42 cents of every dollar we spend to pay basic expenses. These are not extraordinary expenses. They're basic expenses that are authorized in the budget each year, and we're putting out that money with no end in sight. We watched the fiscal cliff negotiations. Many of the same senators that were speaking and making decisions about this fiscal cliff are the same people that approved the taxes that drove most of the companies to relocate overseas to get away from all the taxes and regulations. And it's the same guys that are working shamelessly on taxing us over and over again. Today, we will not have Rich Logis with us because he has a little bit of laryngitis, but he says he'll be up and ready to go next weekend during the program. But I do have Larkin Connolly. And Larkin, I would like to ask you, what do you feel we're going to experience in 2013? Let's maybe make it a quarterly. What do you think we're going to have happening in the first quarter?
Well, first of all, good morning, Michael, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. The president of SCORE Philadelphia is here. What a great guy. I mean, he's here. He's nice and warm. His voice is up to snuff, and we're ready to go.
Be that as it may. And Happy New Year to you, Henry, and to all the listeners. Let's cross our fingers, knock on wood, and hope that 2013 brings us a level of prosperity that we haven't seen in the past few years. You know, the one comment that comes to mind when I watched the fiscal cliff antics going on in Washington and how it was handled and how in a complete emergency environment they passed some laws, I guess, to make sure that the markets opened up this morning and didn't go through the floor. Small businesses survive in good times. Small businesses survive in bad times. The hardest thing you can do to a small businessman is to load his plate with uncertainty. I mean, if times are going to be bad, they react and they plan accordingly. If times are going to be good, they react to that and plan accordingly. But are people going to hire today with all of the questions as to whether funding is going to be available and what the health care program is going to do to them and how the final answer to the fiscal cliff is going to affect them? That's what really hurts small businesses and hurts them today is that, you know, that uncertainty of what really is going to happen. They'll stand around and tap their foot and wait for a better indication of what the economy is going to be like before they react.
What do you think would be a better indication?
The first thing I would say is the Jobs Act that was passed just recently. And most people think that that was an initiative to go out and jumpstart the jobs, and it really isn't. It stands for, and I have to look at it every time because it's kind of very strange. It stands for Jumpstart Our Business Startups. So it was an effort on the part of Congress and the president to introduce a program that actually would jumpstart small businesses. We all know that the number one issue facing businesses right now is their access to capital and their ability to borrow money, albeit for jobs, inventory, new machinery. And the Jobs Act really does one main thing that's very important. It enables the entrepreneur to raise up to $1 million from the general public and not from the wealthy accredited investors, as has been the way in the past. So now we have a new level of funding, which is called crowdfunding. And I think crowdfunding is going to catch on this year. We have a lot of players in the field now, Kickstarter and Indiegogo, and also a site called Fundable. And virtually what you do is you go online, you introduce your product in a paragraph. Almost every product introduced involves a video explaining what the product is and what you're trying to introduce. And people at that point can actually click on the site and pledge a certain amount of money. And depending on the level that you commit, you receive a premium from the company if the funding is completed. So if somebody goes on, and I've seen companies go on looking for $55,000 and raise $300,000. So it's just a new and different way of raising money. It takes it adds an outlet of just the regular Joe being able to invest in small businesses rather than having to go to the banks or the big accredited investors. So
sort of like a fish tank or whatever that's called, that show?
Kind of. Not really like a fish tank. I mean, you literally go up, get airspace, produce your product, show it to the public. They sit there and watch
and they want to invest in some way.
And they say, I like that. I like what the guy's doing or the woman's doing, and I'm going to invest. And they invest $1.50. They invest $10. But if a lot of people go on to Kickstarter to see what's going on, the one that sticks out to me is a young lady in New York City who was doing a special about her aunt and her grandmother in Israel and a day in their life with all of what is going on in Israel right now. And she was asking, that's the one I mentioned that was asking for $55,000 to put the final production costs together for what there was going to be a short movie. And she ended up with just an incredible amount of money. A lot of people liked it. If you gave up to $20, you got a copy of the movie, of the short, delivered to you. And
I'd like to see more on that. In fact, I'd share that on our internet site. One of the things that concerned me over the Christmas holiday is as I opened my Christmas cards, I looked at where the cards were made. And in many cases, I see here that some of our traditional American companies are now buying their Christmas cards in China. Now, When I looked at some of the cards, of course, I got a few from the Polish American Congress. I looked at the back of the card, printed in the USA. I was very pleased. And then I went on to other organizations that sent out mass products. I guess they do it to save on the product. And I looked shoebox, some of these other Hallmark shoebox. They're made in the USA. But my point to all this is, why can't some of our printers in America maybe open up their own greeting card outlets and try to sell them in smaller stores? If we can't sell them in Hallmark stores because Hallmark is devoted to one particular level of cards, from imported cards or whatever, why can't we support small businesses that would like to sell greeting cards for every holiday imaginable?
Well, I think that's what makes your initiative that much more important. I can't imagine, and I haven't done a study, obviously, but I can't imagine that the difference between an American-printed greeting card and a foreign-printed greeting card is that much. Certainly not that it would affect anybody buying cards who would say, I'm going to pay $10.50 for a dozen cards rather than $8.50 for a dozen cards because I'm helping my own country. I'm helping my workers and my fellow small business people. So, you know, that's the primary, to me, the primary fallback of your efforts, is to get people to now take a look at the back of the card and make sure that it's printed in America.
And, you know, when I went shopping for my daughter's Christmas cards, I made sure that everything was made in America, and I made sure that they knew about it at our Christmas Eve Vigilia celebration when they opened cards. The fact of the matter is, when I went into this particular major store to buy the cards, I looked, and of course I try to influence people as I'm looking. I say, oh, why is this made in China? They don't celebrate holidays or Christmas or anything like that over there. Why are they printing the cards? People say, they look and they say, oh, you're right. That's unbelievable. And then I look at the quality of the card, and I look at the price of the card, and I say to myself, if that card costs me $4 and it's made in the USA, I'm willing to buy it and no aggravation. But if it's made in a foreign country and I know what their labor standards are over there, I'm not willing to pay $4 for that. And I, when I go to the cashier, I make sure the cashier knows about it. I hold nothing back.
So if we educate everybody and people buying greetings cards for the next event, which would be, I guess, is Valentine's Day. And everybody starts to look and buys America, guess what happens?
Exactly.
Store owners are stuck with Valentine's stock that came from China, and all of their American stock is selling.
Is moving. That's what the people need to show, the small businesses. And in fact, this weekend coming up is, again, National Small Business Weekend, this coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I'm pleading with all of our listeners to go out of your way. In fact, call a family member and friend and go into the community stores and, in fact, let them know. Now, many of the stores, I have to say, as I go around, apologize for not having enough American-made items. They say, Michael, it's very difficult to talk to our merchandisers because they're looking to make the best profit they can, and the foreign products offer them that. Then I get people like yourself walking in the door. You're furious that I'm not supporting that 50-50 level of products, and you know, I have to hear it from all angles. But I said to him, the fact that people are coming in and speaking up is in itself, it's almost, we're light years ahead of where we were 5 years ago. In fact, we were just looking at the clip from David Muir on ABC World News. Now, he did a wonderful program during the month of December, and I have to compliment Diane Sawyer and David Muir because they really went out, but it showed how school groups, businesses were being highlighted, businesses were doing great great things this year. They highlighted the fact that they're American made. They went into the stores. They offered all kind of special plans to get their products moving. The fact that David Muir went into their different locations, their manufacturing facility, showed how things are being shipped, how things are being, held, the costs are being held down so that they can be competitive, in itself shows us we can do anything that we want if we try to work at it. And I'm pleading with our view, with our listeners today, to go out of your way this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Thursday, call your family and friends and remind them that this week is National Small Business Weekend again, and that's this Friday the 4th, Saturday the 5th, and next Sunday the 6th. When you stop at your local businesses, by the way, I also have a small poster up there that they can print out, put it on their cash register, put it in their door, whatever. It's up to the people and also the businesses to make this work. You know yourself, Larkin is the president of SCORE Philadelphia, and you have chapters all over the USA. You know yourself how important it is to promote one another. When we hear about all this tax stuff and, you know, we're going down the drain, we're going over the fiscal cliff, I was thinking about all of that last night as I watched some of these senators shuffling in and out of the doors. I said to myself, people like Rich Loges, Joe Evangelist, Henry Chaplinsky, these people, these guys were in diapers when these elected officials were already put in office. When they boast, I've been in office for 42 years, for 37 years, that's no honor. That's no honor, because in those 37 years, we went from owing nothing to a $16 trillion debt, which is over $50,000 on every person's head. It simply makes no sense what they did to us. So when I look at these greeting cards, then I just showed Larkin a little earlier, I showed him the new light bulbs. And I go into the stores, and boy, I'll tell you, some of the people really, as soon as I enter, they know the first question. Oh, here's the guy from American Workers Radio. This guy's going to complain about everything. And that's fine. As soon as I enter the customer service at Home Depot, she already knows you couldn't find it American made. I absolutely love it. But I went in to buy some exit bulbs the other day for the cultural center. And I looked around and I called the manager over and I said to him, by the way, what can we do to get some American bulbs featured here? I said, Philips, that was always a product made in North Jersey from what I remember. And I looked at some of our old packaging. I went down into the storeroom and the old stuff from 6 and 7 years ago is made in America. Now it's made in China.
Yep.
My question is, why is it only made in China and not 50% in China and 50% in America? He said to me, well, I'll see what I can do. I'll ask, you know, I'll put in a note to see if they have any of these particular bulbs. And he came back and he said, no, everything is made in China.
Well, you know, that really accentuates the fact how important your movement is. You know, the system works best when there's a demand. So somewhere there's going to have to be a demand for American-made products, and it's going to have to be created pretty quickly. That demand will then help the existing companies that are making light bulbs in the States. Their demand will be up, and the ball starts rolling.
Now, you know, I am not sure if I remember hearing this correct, but about a year ago, a few of the light bulb manufacturers in America went out of business because of the new regulations. You have to have all the new style bulbs and this and that. And now everything is made in China.
Kind of doesn't make sense, does it?
Doesn't make any kind of sense to me. It reminds me of these people who are in Congress. As I went around and the people were discussing the fiscal cliff over the holidays, everyone said, you know what? it's time to outline what these congressmen are paid, what their benefits are, what their pensions are. Let's talk about what makes these people tick. As I said, Rich and Joey and Henry and all, these people were in diapers when America had no debt. Here we are all these years, 30-some years later, and we're in $16 trillion in debt, and the fiscal cliff did nothing really to help us. I don't understand why we have to borrow more when we're supposed to have less spending. It doesn't make sense to me. And is that for the interest or what?
It cracked me up as I was watching the physical cliff issue, and I'll tell you that story when I come back.
Okay. We'll be back in a few moments. As always, I ask that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in here on 860 AM radio, and they can listen from anywhere in the world simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the left side link that says Listen Now. Michael Steinman, attorney at law, has two offices in Philadelphia, one at 17th and JFK Boulevard in Center City, and the other at 8510 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. Call attorney Michael Steinman's office at 215-564-1866. That's 215-564-1866, or in the evening or weekends at area code 215-322-0235. Michael Steinman, attorney at law, always available to assist you in the English or Polish language. The Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, known as the PRCUA, established in 1873, is the oldest Polish-American life insurance organization in the United States. They offer outstanding life insurance plans for men, women, and children from $5,000 all the way up to $1 million of coverage per person. The PRCUA is a national fraternal organization, so people can secure life insurance plans and annuities from anywhere in the USA. Their main office is in Chicago, and their satellite office is in Port Richmond, Philadelphia, at 2636 East Allegheny Avenue. The Philadelphia office is open Monday through Friday between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., and if you're not available during those times, representatives will meet with you in the evening or during the weekend. For more information, call the PRCUA Philadelphia office at area code 215-425-3807. That's 215-425-3807. Serena's Auto Body Shop and Collision Center has two locations to serve you. One at 6201 Oxford Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. The other is at 691 Bethlehem Pike in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. For more information, call Serena's Auto Body at 215-535-6606. That's 215-535-6606.
The office of Dr. Vojimir Zinn and Everest Dental, located at 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, provides quality service at affordable prices. For a full range of dental services, from general care to implants, veneers, and many other procedures, contact Everest Dental for an appointment at area code 215-671-0188. From the moment you enter the office of Dr. Vojimir Zinn of Everest Dental, you will witness the latest technology in all areas of dental services. The Everest Dental offices accept all major insurances. Dr. Zinn speaks English and Polish and welcomes you to call Everest Dental 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia at area code 215-671-0188. That's area code 215-671-0188.
Welcome back to another edition of American Workers Radio. And I just would like to remind all of you listening on the internet that if you go to our site, you will see that we have a great picture up there of our very distinguished guest today. And that is Larkin Connolly, who is the president of SCORE Philadelphia. You'll also see a photo of Rich Logis, who is the principal of RJL Technology. And he has what I had 2 weeks ago, a little bit of a sore throat. And also Mark Andels up there, who is the founder of the Made in America store. And they just had a number of sales prior to the first of the year and over the Christmas holiday. So Mark is taking a break today. But I'm speaking here with Larkin Connolly, and I'm trying to make some sense as to what we really have to do to get our people together, our businesses together. And Larkin, I want you to know that the microphone is open to all of your contacts in the new year whenever they want to come in. Let's bring them in. Let's talk turkey to see what we can do. As I said, I'm really pleased with our listeners, people who listen in to our live broadcast, people who listen to our rebroadcast as they're doing their emails at night and all. I get a lot of good comments from people, and I also received a tremendous amount of comments from people who are playing my commentaries on other radio broadcasts throughout the country.
That's great.
That 2.5 minute commentary a week is being played, and I'm really pleased to acknowledge these good souls. In fact, in the next newspaper article, I'm going to try to outline some of them. It's good to know that people are doing their best to unite others and bring them into the fold. But Larkin, as a person involved with small businesses, what would you say we have to do in 2013 to make it a better year, a lucky year, a year where we're going to move forward?
Well, and Michael, if I could just step backwards to finish the story I started before we went into break. I was watching this physical cliff stories, watching them on the news, sometimes focused on C-SPAN, but I think I was focused on one of the networks, and they were talking about all of the heads of state, all of the heads of Congress, of the Senate and the House of Representatives convening at the White House, and they showed them all arriving at the White House and getting out of their vans. These are the largest SUVs I have ever seen in my life. These things can't possibly get 4 miles to the gallon. And two very giant-looking guys with wires coming out of their ears get out of the front seat, and the one runs around the back of the door, and the two of them stand there and open the door, and Mitch McConnell gets out and walks into the White House. Now, why couldn't Mitch McConnell and about two other senators hooked a ride in Mitch's Ford Fiesta and ridden to the White House?
Yeah, and maybe get four other senators in the van so that they can talk on that brief trip to the White House and talk some sense, instead of them all arriving like rock stars, like princes. It simply doesn't make sense. I think we're going to have to do what we were discussing. I sent out an email the other day. It was something that Warren Buffett had put out, and I redefined it now, and we're going to discuss it next week. I want to know what some of these people are making. Why are they fighting to be in those positions for life? I mean, it's time. You know, public service should be, you give your 4, 8, or 12 years the most, and you move on. There has to be somebody new with some new ideas. You could be a mentor for the next guy coming in, but just don't try to hog up the job. Some of these people, when they were on prior to the fiscal cliff, announcing that they've been there for 37 years, 43
Daniel
years.
Daniel Inouye.
I mean, it's impossible to believe it. I just can't figure out how they continue. Do they just scare off the competition or whatever? I don't know. It should be some kind of a law. You can't serve more than 8 or 12 years the most, and then you have to take a break. So, and then if you're that needed to come back, then your constituents will say, we must ride this person out of town and put this person back. But just the way it's going now, majority of these people, they operate their campaigns in a fear tactic. They will win no matter what. They'll crush everybody in the process. But in the process of their leadership in Washington, America has dropped to the lowest level. No one's been looking out for our workers in America. They say, oh, we need around 24 million jobs. No, we don't. We need 40 million jobs, or maybe even 42. And that takes in all the people unemployed, the discouraged workers, people who want to get back into the workforce, maybe a mom that has to go to a job now that her kids are in school. She's able to go out, say, 5-6 hours a day. How about the kids coming out of college? It's discouraging. There's no jobs. And yet, what did they speak about during this entire fiscal cliff negotiation? Did you ever hear where they're saying 99% of our efforts are toward jobs so that we can collect money from jobs, from income tax, rather than trying to find every which way to tax you in the process?
Right. It's absolutely silly. But when I go back to that picture of nine senators and congressmen, obviously majority leaders and whips and minority leaders, all going in to talk to the president, and there were nine SUVs sitting out there. You think that the Republicans could have hooked a ride with each other?
Absolutely.
And it's just gotten to a point that they are rock stars. You're 100% right, and statesmen are few and far between.
Very few. Oh, I'm discouraged to see all this. I'm discouraged because of my own kids. I see what's happening with many of their friends, some of my neighbors, and people who, you know, I work in social services, so people contact me, you know, hoping that I may have some open doors, some possibilities of helping a son or a daughter or themselves. But the thing is, what's discouraging to me is there's no leader on a state level, on a local level, or on a national level that's going out of their way to say, this is what we're going to have to do. We are going to move forward with this project, whether it's a public works project. Look at the infrastructure in our country. I'm coming down Interstate I-95 this morning to have people cleaning the sides of the highway and blocking up the traffic for miles. Now, why can't they do that when it's not busy time for workers coming to the office?
Because they get day jobs just like you do.
Well, I mean, we have to start thinking about that. Or better yet, take a look at I-95. When that first opened, already it was obsolete. Same thing with the Schuylkill Expressway in Philadelphia. I'm talking for our national listeners. It's the same thing where you are. America's infrastructure is in very poor shape. And why I say that is because people say, well, I want to locate in an industrial park because I'll have easier access. I'll have parking for my employees. I'll have it closer to a highway. Well, that has to start branching out all over the USA. How are people going to get to work? How are they going to make it cost effective? Today, it took me 40 minutes to ride down the expressway. When I passed what was going on, I was discouraged. I said, cleaning the side of the highway during rush hour doesn't make any kind of sense to me. And it happens on a regular basis. Why can't the unions, why can't the regular workers all get together and say, we have got to work together for one reason: bring back jobs to America. I'm sure that in the most recent election, we just had a swearing in yesterday in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, of all the new legislators and, of course, those that were reelected. I listened to some of the speeches prior and after the swearing in. Very, very little mention of jobs. It's who should be taxed, the Marcella Shale should be taxed. So, where are the jobs? Not only the taxes. Did you send anybody to Washington or Harrisburg to tax us or to lead us. They're supposed to govern our dollars. That's what they're there for, to govern our dollars, not to govern us away from stability and just tax us to death. We already saw the aftermath of all the jobs leaving the USA, and even the president and all the leaders of the Democratic and the Republican sides during this fiscal cliff. How many of them came forward and said, well, included in this bill is a job, a back to work program. We are going to do this for small businesses. My question is, in the next 2 months, could we get another 500,000 jobs back if proper money was available to our small businesses, Larkin?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. And you know, small business people aren't looking for a handout either.
Absolutely.
They don't want a handout. All they want is business. They want activity. They want prosperity. And the government creating all of the uncertainties is what is causing the stalemate right now. And I think small businesses in Philadelphia are going to have to get used to the fact that there are going to be uncertainties this year. They're going to get flooded with phone calls from different kinds of insurance companies that are going to be talking about the new CARE Act from the Obama administration and how it works and how they're going to pay for it and what it means to them. That's an element of uncertainty. They don't want to hire people if what they're buying is more health care costs. I mean, they just flat can't afford that. But if you're a small business employer with fewer than 25 employees with average wages of $50,000 or less, you're going to get a 35% kickback on or tax relief on money that you have to pay in for that very legislation, the Affordable Care Act. Small businesses have to take a deep breath and understand that kind of uncertainty is going to be around all 2013, because 2014 is when the Affordable Care Act kicks in. So by the end of the calendar fourth quarter, everybody's going to have their insurance lined up and how they're going to pay it. And that's going to be a little bit of a boom also, a little bit of a problem, not a boom, but a little bit of a problem for small business people, because now all of a sudden they're being laden with a new cost. Help or no help, 35% is great, but you still have to pay the 65% that you're not being given back in tax refunds.
Larkin, if I were to ask you, what would you like to see here in Philadelphia and the tri-state Philadelphia area happen as far as small businesses with banks? Should banks be educating small businesses how they can help them? I mean, money is the problem with everything that we're doing.
Well, SCORE's having an event on the 30th of January at the Free Library at Vine Street, 19th and Vine, in the main branch on the first floor. We're having an angel investor. We're having a member from SBA who's an expert on crowdfunding. We're having a blogger from the New York Times who also runs a small investment house here in town. And all of these individuals are going to talk to Senator. We'll fill the room. We'll have 85 to 100 people, small business people, who are interested in, and it is small business funding for 2013 is the name of the event. So we'll fill the room. The issue becomes, what can these five experts local to Philadelphia actually tell these small business people? And are they going to walk out of the room a little bit relieved? Are they going to walk out of the room more frightened, more uncertain? And that's basically what 2013 is going to represent. There's huge question marks out there. So, my speech to small businesses is learn how to deal with the uncertainty, grow your business, work hard at your business, pay attention to social media and all the things that you can do to grow your business, and don't sit around licking wounds that you're not even sure you have yet. Just stop it. Just go out and grow your business.
You know what? I'd like to add something to that. As you gather with the people on the 30th, is there any way to promote all of us networking together? These people that might be opening up small businesses, as I said about the greeting cards, majority of the greeting cards in the stores were not made in America, which concerns me because I know what the cost of greeting cards and printing is. And the fact that these cards, I mean, some of them were very nice and some were very basic, but the cost was very expensive. But if there was someone in Philadelphia that was doing some printing or whatever and getting their cards out, maybe those small businesses could promote the fact that this store is now selling all American-made items. It's sort of like helping a person like Mark Andel. This man took this idea of Made in America store and he just grew it into something very positive. And now he has a great business. He's online. He has people, buses coming over there to see him. And most people, when he first opened this store, took bets that he wouldn't last 6 months. It's just like me. People said, Michael, you'll run out of information with the commentaries. You'll have nothing to say and it'll just die. Here we are 5 years later and more national media people are becoming involved. Not that I'm the greatest voice. I wish there were thousands more to do it. But better voices like Diane Sawyer and David Muir and some of the other stations are starting to focus on it because they see there's a need. They see that people are interested. They see that people are going out of their way to speak up. And in fact, if anyone watched the reports that were offered by David Muir on the ABC World News Tonight, saw that more and more young people, people out of work, and their families were all supporting this movement. We'll be back in a few moments. As always, make sure you invite family members and friends to tune in to 860 AM radio. And if they're on the internet, give them a call and ask them to check us out at AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
For a snack or meal that's ready in minutes, trust the quality and variety of Giorgio. Giorgio's mouth-watering mozzarella or jalapeno cheese sticks and tempting home-style breaded mushrooms are the perfect meal or snack to fit into your family's busy schedule. Giorgio Foods, the standard of quality since 1928, can be found in the frozen sections of supermarkets across the country. Also, try their delicious variety of fresh mushrooms for a healthy way to add flavor to your favorite meal.
The office of Leon Monkowski, attorney at law, is located at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia. His office is open Monday through Friday from 9 in the morning till 5 in the evening, and he does have additional evening hours on Tuesdays. For more information or an appointment, call Leon Monkowski, attorney at law, at 215-739-8521. That's 215-739-8521. Dr. Eva Machak has two dental offices in Philadelphia to serve you. One at 3084 Armingo Avenue in Port Richmond, another at 4250 Richmond Street in the Bridesburg section. Dr. Eva Machak will provide you with quality dental care at affordable prices. For more information or an appointment, call Dr. Eva Machak at area code 215-739-2787. That's 215-739-2787. Dr. Machak speaks both English and Polish.
For all of your banking needs, call on Washington Savings Bank, which offers checking and savings accounts, IRAs, CDs, home mortgages, and home equity loans, along with a host of other services at its five offices at 2701 East Allegheny Avenue in Port Richmond, 2548 East Lehigh Avenue in Fishtown, and in the Northeast at 2900 Comley Road, 10663 Busselton Avenue, and 8729 Frankfort Avenue. Banking hours at all offices of Washington Savings Bank are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Friday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. The Port Richmond Kazimierzwielki branch at Edgemont and Allegheny Avenue is also open on Sunday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. For more information about the many services provided by Washington Savings Bank, call the main number in Philadelphia at area code 215-698-9400. That's area code 215-698-9400. Or visit a Washington Savings Bank near you.
The next portion of our broadcast today is being presented by Steam My Carpets, and they serve commercial and residential properties in the Philadelphia area. Contact Jay Grzeczynski at Steam My Carpets at 1-877-778-3263 or visit them on the internet at steammycarpets.com. And also being presented by the Polish Eagle Sports Club, located at 3157 East Thompson Street in Port Richmond, Philadelphia. For weddings and special events, call the Polish Eagle Sports Club at 215-423-0800. I'm here with Larkin Connolly, who is the president of SCORE. And at off air, we were discussing one of my pet peeves is that I go after different companies to complain why they no longer make products in America. 6 years ago, I went after underwear because I went shopping for jockey shorts and shirts. And most of the stuff is now, or I would say 99% of the stuff, is no longer made in the USA. So I contacted their customer service office, and I received this response, which further infuriated me. It says, "Hi, Michael. On behalf of all of us here at Jockey, I want to assure you that we respect your concerns. And at this time, we want to assure you that we stand behind our products no matter where they are manufactured. Quality is essential to Jockey merchandise. As you know, we are now an international company, and that means that we manufacture all over the world." Well, as I read the response, I said to myself, yes, you're manufacturing now all over the world, but not in America, where the original founding of this brand was made. And this is the typical response I also received as I called the Phillips company. They said almost the same thing to me. The text was, "We are now an international company, so our products are made all over the world, but they're not made in America." Can anyone tell me why? This is what's got me concerned. Now, as this kind of stuff continues, and if anyone would like to see a copy of this, just email me, send me an email to michael@americanworkersradio.com, and I'll forward you this particular email because I think it's a disgrace. But this is how they brush you off. They just, well, this is how it is. This is how we decided. But remember, as you go shopping, you'll find out that Jockeys, as well as some of the other things that are not made in America, are the same cost as though they were made in America. I am pleased to say that I went shopping for some socks, and Hanes is still making a lot of their products in America. I'm not sure about what percentage, but I'm going to go after their customer relations department to see if I can come out of it. Now, Hanes is another one of those companies that has been a very important part of America, and I would like to see if anyone who's listening can let me know how they have been out shopping over the Christmas holidays and what percentage of the merchandise they found that was made in America. We are going to welcome your calls on our next broadcast. But first, I want to return to Larkin Connolly, the president of SCORE Philadelphia. And as we were discussing, we're going to try very hard in 2013 to bring businesses together to make something positive happen. I really think we got the thing going strong now. People are talking about it. The news media is a little less frightened about talking about the Made in America issue. They see that, you know, there's interest at World ABC News tonight and the 20 affiliates that play my commentary. They're all not afraid anymore. They do use it during public service time, but things are changing. People are starting to talk about it. People are going into stores and making a ruckus about it. What can we do more, Larkin, to help bring the ship into the next port?
Well, again, I think we have to show a level of respect for our small businesses, both on the city government level, the state, and the federal level. We just have to learn to respect them as a part of our economic machine.
Now, working with SCORE Philadelphia, do you know of a particular ambassador, say from the city of Philadelphia, that goes out trying to help small businesses?
The city is blessed with what they call a Department of Commerce. The city of Philadelphia has its own Department of Commerce. And SCORE works very closely with this group, and there are probably 11 ambassadors that are responsible for specific neighborhoods, and these specific ambassadors in these neighborhoods are a conduit between the city and license and inspection and other departments in the city with the small business community and the small businesses and the government. So, yes, the city does have the commerce department that is a pretty good group of people that really do have growing the economy in Philadelphia in the back of their minds.
You know, Larkin, during 2013, let's try to bring some representatives on here to let people know, because we have a lot of small businesses in the communities. I'm sure that where there's a store and there's a vacant store next to them, would be nice to fill some of these stores up, possibly even with more local products that are made in Philadelphia and surrounding Philadelphia. When people ask me, what are the most important products made in Philadelphia these days? I hesitate because I really don't know. I have no idea. I mean, we are known for Philly cheesesteaks and pretzels and all this and that. But if someone said that's made in Philadelphia, isn't that distinguished? Used to be Stetson hats and Botany 500 suits and all Dayclo products. And today, I don't know of many of those items that are on the market coming from our manufacturing right here in the USA. Those product names are still around, but they're now imported.
Right. Right. And they've moved on outside the city. There's no question of that. We've become a tourist area by virtue of the beauty of this city and the history involved in this city. So tourist industry is huge for Philadelphia. The small business community is big. We are, believe it or not, one of America's greatest restaurant cities. We really are. We finish in the top 5 or 8 of American cities as far as restaurants are concerned. And we've attracted national talent, Jose Garza, who was here before he became national talent, and Stephen Starr and Bobby Flay all have opened restaurants in this town. So the restaurants we're known for our great restaurants. Manufacturing base, I don't think so. There's not much of that left. We certainly have the factories and the empty buildings.
Empty buildings to scare you. Oh, it's frightening. As I eat, in fact, rode down a highway last week, I looked at the amount of for sale available for rent signs, and it's pretty scary. Now, these are facilities that were fully operational 8-10 years ago, so there's no excuse that, oh, it hasn't been used in years. No, that's not true. What are we going to do to get those places filled again? We have no national ambassador. We were talking about that a few years ago. If we had somebody in the system that would be the person, the main contact for the president, for the Congress, for our governors. You know, is it time to get all the governors together and say, what are you going to do in your individual communities to get more enterprise zones where people can come and know that they're going to be able to have stability there for 25 years? All these short-term solutions, these fiscal cliffs, and, you know, all this is very discouraging to a business person.
Well, you know, the press has a tendency of scaring the small business community, scaring the consumer for that matter, with all of this naysaying that has done fiscal cliff this and fiscal cliff that. Granted, they're all issues. When this happened 50 years ago, and I'm not trying to, I'm not so much of a conservative that I want us to go back 50 years from now. But, you know, 50 years ago, this would have been two paragraphs on the front page of the New York Times, and that would have been the mention of it. At this point, they were breaking into programs on New Year's Day and the day before, New Year's Eve, with what's happening with the fiscal cliff. I mean, we were just bombarded with information, and the same information ongoing and ongoing. And what this does is create an element of panic with the consumers as well as the small business people, that everybody's walking around on ice. But the economy's going to grow this year. I think that's a very safe prediction. It'll grow at the rate that it did last year, about 2.5%. That's not bad. It's not great, but it's not bad. I mean, it will grow. I don't think we're going to recess. I don't think we have to face that again. I think Washington will remain deadlocked because there is such a cavern between one party and the other. I mean, this is, you know, there used to be a spectrum, a political spectrum that showed the far left and the far right. And it showed a big hump in the middle, because everybody was crowded in the middle. That doesn't really kind of exist anymore. Everybody's so far right and everybody's so far left. That's what's creating this stalemate in Washington, D.C. It's really not all that bad. I heard a report the other day that this is the lowest number of bills that the Congress has passed since 1933 or something. It was, you know, and I thought to myself, oh, why is that bad?
Right.
I mean, why is,
you know,
not
Larkin,
passing
laws? I have a very, I'm going to put out a feeler on the air. Does anyone know of any national bills that were put out there to help small businesses and to get people back into jobs in the last 2 years? I'd like to see what the Congress did. They said, oh, they made this big change in 2010 and all. But what did they do in the last 2 years that really made small businesses say, well, this particular piece of legislation is going to help us? Is there anything that you know of?
Well, it was the Jobs Act. I mean, that was the number one. I mean, it was given the short name, the Startup Act of America.
And how many jobs were created with that?
Well, I don't think anybody knows, because I think the country's still trying to sort out what crowdfunding is and trying to understand what it is. But, you know, the net bottom line is, for 2013, small business folk everywhere in the city of Philadelphia, it's going to get a little bit tougher. I mean, it's going to, I don't mean that at all. It's going to stay about the same as it was last year. Adjust the way you do business, prosper, go out and work hard, use your ingenuity, grow your business.
And remember, everyone, people like Larkin Conley, Michael Blehash, Rich Logis, Joseph Evangelist, and all of our other guests, Mark Andel, are all working together to try to make sure that good things happen during 2013. It is going to be our lucky year. You can go out of your way this weekend during National Small Business Weekend to help your local businesses by shopping small businesses. Make sure they know that you're coming in there to support this particular effort. Until next Wednesday at 11, or this Saturday at 11, I wish you a very, very enjoyable new year. In behalf of Larkin Conley sitting here with me, and Henry Chaplinsky and Tim Hollerin back at the studio, I wish all of you the very best. As we say in Polish, Szczęśliwego Nowego Roku.